This is P.S. You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, we're back for a pop culture roundup. Shocking every time that happens, I know, for all of you.
No, I think, you know what? I haven't checked, but I think we've done okay.
As far as the number of these that we've done?
Yeah, have we been missing some?
I don't know. I feel like...
I guess, yeah, last week we just did our big episode.
Right, which is standard procedure, everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
That has been happening from the beginning.
Then I guess we were on a break.
I think we've just
been traveling
and whatever. Today I was like, oh, an Oscars episode. And then I was like, oh, wait, yeah. And we do pop culture roundup. So I guess there's no reason why we wouldn't do one this week. So let me look up stories quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to use that Google date rewind sitch to get out from under all the Oscar leads.
Right. Headlines. No, exactly. I was like, let me go to Vulture and like scroll back to their feed like a few days. Well, I think that our audience is clearly waiting for our take on one very, very important story. Perhaps the most culturally significant, I don't want to say culturally, historically significant, a historic moment, which is that there will be the very first all-female space flight helmed by none other than Katy Perry.
Oh my God. I'm so sick of this. Like, honestly, Matt, you should not have brought this up at the top of the hour because I will spend the rest of this episode talking about how stupid, how pointless I find quote-unquote space travel. Like, please, for the love of God, get these celebrities to do something else. Honestly, I just... Okay, it's fine.
I'm confused though. Like, this situation does like sort. I'm like, are we going? Like, is Katy Perry gonna die? I think there's at least a 50% chance.
No, there's not a 50% chance. There's like a 5% chance, maybe. This has been done. They do not go to space. Okay, they technically go to space, but they blip out of the atmosphere and come right back in. It is a 10-minute flight, tops. They get a look out. Oh my gosh, it's the globe. And they come right back. And it accomplishes nothing.
Are people doing this a lot?
Yeah, this is... Oh my gosh, you haven't been on the space travel side of the internet yet?
No, I'm not on TikTok. I've been reading a lot.
Yeah, well, good for you. Me too. But no, it's like... It's like a thing. People will pay to do these SpaceX flights or these, what is this one? Origin Blue or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just these billionaires who build spaceships and they sell tickets. They sell seats. I mean, it's not necessarily like you and I can go and book it. Like, they have very, I don't know, long lists or something. I saw it first because this like Instagram influencer obsessed with space was like, I'm going to be the first woman under 36 to go in space in the month of June or something, right? Like, it's like there's always a caveat to these record setters. And I was like, okay, what does this mean? Like, what do you mean? Is she going to the freaking space station? No, she's in this little like space chamber with four other people. All like randoms who are either basically propaganda for these billionaires to be like, look at us, to get headlines for these stupid, pointless ego trips into the ether. And they just go up and they're technically doing research on the effects of space on the human body. But yeah, they spend 10 minutes door to door. And this, glorified, like, it's like just go on one of those zero G airplane rides and call it good. But instead, we're spending billions per flight to get these people up in the air to talk about how beautiful our world is while they actively just rot the the planet for us. And I'm sick of it. I'm over it. I can't. Katy Perry, Gayle King, please find something else to do with your life.
Well, I knew obviously that like Jeff Bezos or whoever has like done this before. I guess I did not realize how with what frequency these flights were taking place. I thought that they were more difficult to do than like, oh, you can just go up on a random Tuesday. Because like, don't you have to use like rocket boosters that fall off and so, like you're building things that are getting destroyed, correct? Yeah. And then aren't you just like coming back on one of those little things with the like parachutes on it?
I think
it's not like a flight where they're reusing the same thing.
Well, they have found a way to recycle a lot of these bodies, so it's like not every spaceship is built from scratch. But yeah, no, it's a huge expense it's a huge expense. I don't understand why, except that these billionaires are just rotten to the core and have nothing better to do except like throw people into space. And it's like, why don't you try and launch yourself further? Like, I just cannot.
Well, okay. But Gayle King said, I thought I wanted to open myself to new adventures. So what about that? Isn't that worth something?
You know, I think Gayle King could open herself to the new adventure of positioning Jeff Bezos to solve world hunger. Like, I think Gayle King and Katy Perry could be like, you know what, Jeff Bezos, better press for you to do your little space hobby. Why don't we go and rebuild every house burned in Hawaii 3 years ago? Like, it's like, it's insane to me that we continue to like hype up celebrities as, I don't know, sort of like certain personalities get like a good pass of being like one of the good ones or like one of the thoughtful ones. And it's like, all these just show me is that inherently all these celebs, they're just selfish, short-sighted little attention seekers who want to be the first female team to fly to space for 10 minutes. Like, seriously.
Well, I am sort of shocked that Gayle King is doing this to a certain extent, because I'm like, she feels out of place in this lineup. It's like, it's Jeff Bezos' random fiance, Lauren Sanchez, who's like, seems like a nightmare. And then Katy Perry, who's obviously like does not have her finger on the pulse.
She's not doing anything. Yeah.
And then, but I'm also sort of like, who's flying this? Because then the other people, there's a movie producer, there's an activist. I'm like, this is like Gilligan's fucking Island, where it's just like a movie star. Like, who is driving this plane? I would think that in order to do a space mission, you would need people on the plane who like know what they're doing. Like, I'm assuming that Katy Perry is not going to be like called upon to, you know, something or tie something.
Well, there's
or
no
whatever.
Steering. It's like zhoop, bloop. It's like, I don't.
I've watched Apollo 13. I know there's at least buttons that have to be pushed.
We're in the Uber era of space travel, okay? It's just anyone with a remote control can guide a spaceship into space.
But I'm like, Gayle, why are you on this? Like, why would you want to be associated with Jeff Bezos just in general, let alone this random flight? Which I feel like every time there has been a space-related thing as of late, like, everybody's just sort of like, this is stupid. Like, when this announcement came out, I did not see anybody on social media being like, wow, so cool. Everyone was like, this is the lamest thing. Like, this is honestly so embarrassing for these celebrities.
Yeah, because they don't care about us. They don't care about feedback. They're just, like, there for a check and a good time. Like, I don't know. It's just, maybe Gayle King is like, paving the path for Oprah to go to space next.
I mean, with Gayle King, like, whatever. But I'm like... Katy Perry like has to be suffering some sort of psychic, you know, consequences of her album flopping. Like, you know that she was prepared for a comeback and everybody was getting ready for the comeback, and then it's like she has been nothing but ridiculed this entire time. Whoever is on her team needs to be fired, because the fact that they are letting her do this, which is like again making her look even stupider, is just, it's so funny to me. And yes, like we agree, like money ruins everything. Like money ruins people. I don't care sort of how good you were beforehand. I think sort of the later you become famous or rich, like the better chance you have at not being a terrible person. But it's like, I think that still just like warps you after a while.
Yeah.
Because you're just, you get used to a certain type of life and you're not looking out for other people. I mean, I'm sure that I have that in, you know, if I was comparing myself to other people who are less fortunate and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, like I think you just get used to whatever that situation is. Like if I was talking to, you know, people in a Rwandan refugee camp, I too would look like Selena Gomez when she was giving out blankets to whoever in the documentary and being like, oh, you guys, like, are we in love with people? Like, what's happening? They're like, we don't have food, ma'am.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, okay, well, that was a fun story to take up some of our time. Do you have another story?
Yeah. So I saw this and I was curious. I was curious about a lot of things, but I guess there's going to be a theatrical production of The Hunger Games. Like, someone has written a play version and it's opening in London at this brand new theater, like custom built for this.
Yes. And you're seated in like districts, I think.
I don't know.
Where it's
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, it's like, in the round. Wow. Yeah. And it's like, it's being sold as like an adaptation of the book and the movie. I don't know why. I guess they had to get like rights from both. I don't know, to like adapt it, because maybe they're borrowing some of the visuals or something.
I wonder if they're doing something with the music.
Maybe that. Yeah. But they released like a little preview, like behind the scenes sort of around the rehearsals. And it's very, very Cirque du Soleil. Like there's lots of... lots of flying, lots of rope work, lots of being lifted and spinning about and trapeze types of stuff. And it's, I'm curious. I'm fascinated. I mean, I have such a soft spot for Suzanne Collins and the Hunger Games. And I would love to go and witness this just because, like, what is it, you know? And it has to have been done before, right? Like, obviously we have a lot of books to plays. No, but like a book to movie to play. Like, what are the comps here? What are we working with?
I guess I don't know. I mean, like Tuck Everlasting or whatever was a musical.
I guess we do have a lot of the musicals now,
where it's like a book that's turned into a musical.
Yeah, The Notebook.
And I also think like book to play is not, you know, like To Kill a Mockingbird was a couple of years ago. Like, I don't think that is that surprising. I think the bigger question is more of these like franchises, which are deciding that it's a new way to make money to have like a live theater version, because obviously I think Harry Potter sort of kicked this trend off, or maybe I guess you could say
that was an original.
Well, yeah, but it's like it's
an extension the IP is there.
Of this IP, where it's like, okay, this isn't a movie that we're just turning into a musical, but is like something that is like somewhat kind of different. And then now there's that Stranger Things show that was at the on the West End. It's coming to Broadway in a couple of months, which again, I think
Stranger Things.
Yes, there's like a Stranger Things. It's 11? Like the TV show, yes, but it's a prequel. I'm pretty sure it's a play, not a musical. And it's a prequel about sort of like, I think the start of sort of whatever that experiment thing that she was in, like sort of like back in the 60s or 70s or something. And obviously, like, both of those were West End productions then transferred to Broadway. I think provided this Hunger Games thing is like not absolutely decimated, like provided it's at least halfway good, it will end up coming here, because that just seems like a cash grab that nobody's gonna pass up on.
Can you get me tickets to the October London date? Like, can we go for the podcast for research?
I mean, I don't have connections in the London theater community, unfortunately. I can, I think that the tickets for shows on the West End aren't usually that expensive, right? I feel like we could just buy them.
I know, but it's like, I think Rob would be more on board if it was like, oh,
I mean,
yeah,
I complain it's for work. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah. Okay, we'll work on your pitch, you know, and see what, like, hotel room you can get us.
I'm like, how come I'm the one responsible for getting us these tickets?
Because you're a journalist, okay? With great power comes great responsibility for the podcast, okay? We have to start cashing in on what little doors you have access to.
My friend Gail King, and yeah, see if she can send me some of her cash to get us into the Hunger Games. I'm like, I feel like the bigger issue for you would not be would be like, oh, you have a child that needs,
I know,
taking care of.
But that's why
Penny want to go to the Hunger Games.
But that's no.
Like, what am I going to pitch?
This would be a solo trip.
I have carpal tunnel. I need Shelby to take notes for during the production.
Well, just it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, oh my gosh, we were invited to the premiere. Like, you can't let me miss this. You know, it's like we have to dress it up.
Yeah,
so
but I
avoid feeling guilty.
I don't think I can get us invited to the premiere of The Hunger Games.
Matthew, that feels like a lot.
If you want to be invited to a premiere of a random off-Broadway play in New York, I could maybe get
that
work. I don't.
I could honestly say I do not. But you have 7 months to figure this out. I think we can make it happen. We get enough of this groundwork going, you know, enough people emailing the director of the adaptation no one knew was happening, and maybe they'll reach out to us.
I mean, the fact that you didn't know that there was a Stranger Things show, I feel like does speak to the fact that these haven't been marketed as well as they maybe should have.
Yeah, that's wild. I had no idea.
Something that is being marketed well, I think, already is a Christmas 2026 release, Shrek 5, starring Zendaya. Did you see this trailer?
Wait, is this for 2026?
Yes. Yes.
I literally thought it was this year.
No, it is not coming out for 2 years.
That is absolutely unhinged. Why? Why are they teasing it now?
I don't know. Other that's than just amazing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the Shrek 5 is using
the playbook.
Yeah. They are saying, we will be making sure every person on planet Earth knows that this is coming out. And you know Zendaya is going to be wearing weird swamp attire at this point.
I'm excited
for this.
That's amazing.
This is going to be so fun to watch her do press for Shrek 5. Like, I've never been more excited in my life.
Are you a big Shrek head? Like, for the older stuff, for the newer stuff too?
I really do love, I think Shrek 1 and Shrek 2 are like perfect movies. Mm-hmm. I also did like Shrek 3. I don't think I ever actually saw Shrek 4. And I also don't think I saw the first Puss in Boots, but I loved the second Puss in Boots. So yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm cautiously optimistic for Shrek 5. I think they've been percolating a while.
Yeah.
It feels like that they wouldn't be coming back unless they at least had some sort of idea. Well, I'm interested in I'm interested in the Shrek's daughter kind of like Shrek is a grown-up sort of plot point. I don't know. I feel like there's interesting stuff that could be done here.
Very cute.
And
Shrek 5. What's it called?
I think it's just called Shrek 5.
Oh, wow. Because was Shrek Forever
It was Shrek
After,
1, Shrek 2, Shrek 3, then Shrek Forever After, but it's like Shrek 4 Ever
back.
After. You know what I mean? like there is the number 4 in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm aware.
Yeah, so I think that it's Shrek 5 currently.
Amazing.
But who knows? I feel like franchises don't like these numbers anymore. They to give a random name, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It'll be like Shrek, the recalcitrance or something.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, sure.
Wow, yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch that teaser because really I just saw, oh, Zendaya's in Shrek 5 at Christmas. And I was like, okay, cool. But I didn't realize it was just like a teaser for a movie coming out in almost 2 years.
Yeah, like I don't think that, I mean, like maybe they've done the vocal work already, but I'm like, the animation is like not done. This movie.
Iconic. I was gonna ask you if you're looking forward to Meghan Markle's lifestyle show coming to Netflix this week, this evening.
I'm sort of, again, like, shocked by the fact that this is happening. Like,
what?
Well, it's just like Meghan Markle has been, had this Netflix deal for like 100 years. I feel like we've seen nothing from it. And then there was all of those rumors like, oh, they're getting canceled. Oh, they were dropped from Spotify or whatever. Like, they're actually not doing any work.
Yeah.
So the fact that she now is coming out with this show just feels so random to me.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that she is a compelling figure in that space.
Show some respect for the founder of the TIG, okay? Like, this has been her space.
What's the TIG?
She had a lifestyle blog before she started dating Harry. And it was, like, pretty popular, you know? She would just, like, write about her life in Toronto and, like, share recipes or, like, favorite things. And then she had to give it up when she started dating him publicly. And so old fans know that this is where Meghan belongs. I have such a soft spot for Meghan Markle.
I know you do. The one rich person on the planet you like...
It's not even like I'd be like, it's like I still acknowledge their follies, right? Like I read this article, I think it was in the Cut or something.
Jeff Bezos really needs to be getting Meghan Markle on this.
If Meghan Markle goes on Orange and Blue Spice, I will literally shave my head. I just cannot.
You've got like you're like flying to wherever the launch pad is with like the poster board sign, like woo.
I don't think I'm a Meghan Markle stan. I'm just fascinated by them. I'm just
am
like,
am I a Meghan Markle stan? I'm a Meghan Markle stan. Pull up in the gangsta Sri Lanka.
Is this another Lady Gaga quote? Like, I honestly can't.
No, you don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know that TikTok sound.
I don't know where it's from. I don't know.
Am I a Nicki fan? Am I a Nicki fan? And then she like proceeds to like butcher these lines from Nicki Minaj, and it's like, oh, you're not a fan, but like you're pretending to be.
That's fair. But no, they did have this article come out about them and how difficult they are to work with, and I just find even that side of things fascinating, where they're just like these big ideas people and they think wanting to be good is the same as being good, and like as far as philanthropy goes. And so all of that is fascinating to me. I love the idea that she actually is kind of a bully to work with because she doesn't know how to people manage. And so that just... it brings color to the entire mess around them. But I also find her really, I don't know, like likable. Like she's earnest in a way like early Anne Hathaway was. Like I think there's a annoyance there that you can either appreciate or you're turned off by. And for me, I'm just like, you are a quirky gal and I'm here for it. Like I just think... even the way that this show is like set up is like, we just want to share beautiful things. And it's like, yes, girl, I want to see beautiful things. But then at the same time, it's like, oh, our house is like our little haven. So we're not actually going to film at the house. We're filming at the neighbor's house that's like similar to our house. And I love it. I love them because they're so strange to me. They're an enigma. They're just, I have to keep all... anytime they do anything, I have to watch it because I just find them so fascinating.
I mean, to me, they sort of give the same energy as Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. I do think that they are sort of weirder than Blake Lively.
Yeah. And there's a difference between try hard and earnest. Like,
and
there's
plot lines have different, like the fact that one of them was a royal and then he met this random woman who was like on a sitcom or like a procedural TV show. Yeah. And then like they got kicked out of the royal family.
Oh,
basically.
My gosh.
Like,
iconic.
It is wild to me, but at the same time, I'm sort of like, I think both of you are actually annoying people, which is
they're the probably movie, annoying, but they're coming from such evil like, people that it's like, oh, poor Harry had no childhood. Meghan Markle did deal with racist attacks from the biggest like family currently on the globe. I find her very beautiful and like stunning, and she does have a very, I don't know, intriguing sense of style and lifestyle and all of that. And I think they do like love being parents, and they just want to be rich and wealthy on a mansion on the beach. And who can fault them? That's what I want too. And they're just struggling to figure out how to make that dream happen with their limited resources.
Struggled a lot growing up. Katy Perry. Her parents were these crazy Christian people. And like, look, she also just wants beautiful things. And also it's satire. It's irony. Yeah. Did you even get it, Shelby?
It's E.T. Yeah.
It's like we're workers, but there's boobs. Like it's different. You have to think about it.
Our king? What is the song? We're women of the world. Women rule the world.
It's a woman's world.
It's a woman's world. Sounds like it worked on you. I mean,
because I love women and I support women astronauts. Okay.
Oh my god. I don't think we can call them astronauts. I really think that's disrespectful.
Most astronauts died. They're not that good at their jobs. Like, they're always dying.
Where are you getting these stats? Where are you getting these stats? Apollo 13? Like, what?
I've watched enough astronaut movies to know that it rarely goes well for them.
Yeah.
Like, did you see Ad Astra? He was stuck in space for thousands of years. Interstellar? Like, they got on the planet. Like, I'm telling you, being an astronaut, bad advice.
Alien is right there. Yeah, it's bad.
Very likely
it's bad out
that
there.
These people die. Gayle King's getting eaten by a monster.
Yeah, yeah. It's deep. It's don't look up.
Well, exactly. Well, yes. Mm. She's Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. That was such a good bit from Don't Look Up. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Where they're like, you're going to be killed by a blah, blah, blah. And then she gets off the spaceship and you're like, oh, exactly. Exactly. Yes. I was like, this is the writing. This episode, wow, we've really traveled far.
Yeah.
Into
outer space and back. Longer than the Origin Blue time. So
here is my question to you, the quandary sort of this episode.
Mm.
Do we A, talk about the traitors now, or B, do an episode next week on the traitors?
That's tough because I don't know if people want a whole episode about us talking about it a week after. Though, you know what, I think we should do an episode on it because they're also doing a reunion episode. Yes, so that'll come out next.
No, the reunion comes out the same time. They both come out on Thursday.
Dang it. That's no fun.
Well, we want to talk about the reunion.
Well, I know, but I thought, you know, we'd be able to justify our week delay.
Alas, not. I mean, let me look. Let me take a quick glance at the movie calendar and see if there's anything coming up next week that we really are, you know, desperate to see.
Talk about a dry February. I don't think I've been to the movie theater, actually. Oh my gosh.
January was sitting so, I know. Like, I feel like January really was doing a lot for us. And then February, yeah, it's been rough. I mean, mercifully, we didn't have to do an episode on Captain Soldier,
we have Mickey
Winter,
17
whatever, but
Mickey 17
oh my
is
gosh
coming
well
out.
We okay and that so I we feel have like to we do that. Need to do an episode yeah. okay yeah, so we actually so... have to talk about the traitors now.
Yeah, we have no choice.
Okay, we have no choice. Okay, love it or hate it, my love it, the traitors. This season I feel like has been good. It's funny,
but they're bad.
But that's almost like makes it better to a certain like if we're thinking about the three seasons of The Traitors, the first season where Ciri was an incredible traitor is arguably the most boring season. I mean, partially because half that cast is normal people, but like other than Kate Chastain, there's really not that much interesting going on because Ciri is just like sweeping the floor with everybody. And then last season, last season was so fun to watch, but then it sort of like did kind of peter out at the end because, you know, the like once they sort of figured out who the traitors were, then it was kind of boring. But this season, I feel like, has been very compelling the entire way through. The traitors have been a hot mess, but like they keep somehow managing to avoid being eliminated. And I really don't know who is going to win. Like I could see a scenario in which like almost everybody who's left, with the exception of maybe Danielle, wins.
Wait. So do you know who got caught last episode? Okay.
No, I've only seen the same amount as you do. However, this was my thinking about, because so in the last episode it ends and we don't know whether Brittany votes out Danielle or Brittany like goes to votes for Ivor and it goes to a tie. But here's my thought is that if Brittany votes for Ivor and it goes to a tie, I feel like the episode would have ended on the tie break rather than on her vote.
Coin toss,
Right. So I sort of think that the fact that we ended with
so
her
funny.
Makes me think that Danielle is getting eliminated.
It's honestly, that would be so funny. Like, because I just would love that. But I think that they're trying to get us to think that. Like, they want the conversation to be that, and then she'll still get through. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of curious about it. But then you do hear that, like, a bunch of the cast have been hanging out afterwards, but Danielle is, like, not close with anyone. Like, everyone hates her.
Well, so, Gabby, when I interviewed her, said she didn't even have Danielle's number.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay, that's interesting. But I'm sort of like, either way, this is a, like, there's no losing scenario for the outcome of this episode, because either Ivor goes home, which is like, okay, boring, bland, whatever, or Danielle goes home, which I think like also makes for an interesting end. Like, the people who I like, who are Gabby and Dylan and Brittany, are all still going to be there for next week.
Yeah. I'm sure that they just like cut a lot of the roundtable stuff, but I thought Gabby just like proved why she's the best, because so many people take her as like, oh, she's a Dallas cheerleader, she's hot, she's dumb, she's like always wearing lingerie, never taking herself seriously. But she is smart. She is a nurse. She is a graduate of college. She once eviscerated Clayton Eckhart on The Bachelor with words that seemed to go over his head. He didn't even know what she was saying. And I just think the world realizing that Gabby is smart is the best thing to come out of the show, because she was really edited to look like one of the dummies, like, because she doesn't really talk. But I think this episode, the last two episodes, really showed that she knew more than she was letting on, and she was playing the long game. And I think it really paid off until Brittany became a traitor. And so I feel like that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Like, and I'm so glad she made it through. And again, she was so eloquent at the round table that I hope she also just like listed every reason Danielle's a traitor, because there's so many. Like, honestly, Danielle is terrible at this, and I find her so obnoxious. But I'm so on board for the Gabby love. So that's been a really fun part of the season.
Gabby, is so much fun. I think she got very, very lucky this episode that Dolores out of nowhere was like, I'm gonna vote for Ivor, and then basically Brittany and Danielle had to be like,
I know,
Ivor, like, because now Ivor could be going home when it could be Brittany, or it could be Gabby in that spot. Yeah. It is funny though, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast, but when I interviewed Gabby, she was sort of saying like, yeah, like, everybody is now coming out of the woodwork to say that they loved me on The Bachelor, but they didn't. Like, I know, I saw the tweet about me, and now everyone's coming back around. I love her. Great. She's so funny. She was such a joy to interview, and was exactly she is in real life. I'm like, just a gem. And the nice thing about the traitors is I sort of feel like it's a very easy show to shoot. It's like, it doesn't take that long. Mm-hmm. And also, it sort of doesn't matter if you've played it 500 times or not. Like, you can keep coming back and it's still interesting. So I would not be surprised at all if they brought back Gabby for another season, like, at some point. Because, like, that's what they did with Kate last year.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, Gabby's always going to be great TV and everybody yeah. loves her. Like, bring her back, make her a traitor, like, you know.
No.
Whatever.
Yeah, no, it would be funny. Honestly,
and she's Dolores, gay.
Yeah, she's a queer icon. It's yes. important representation. But I do find Dolores fascinating because she just seems so over it. Like, she just seems so uninterested in plotting or planning. And I feel like every single episode, every roundtable, she's like throwing her vote. She's just like, I don't like you, Tom. Sorry. And I wonder how much of that is some sort of strategy, or she's just going off of vibes alone, because it seems like she's really,
I think there's no strategy.
Yeah.
I think that like, that is the issue with some of the casting that they do on the show.
Yeah.
Like, you saw this last season with, what's her face? Phaedra's friend. What was her name? She lasted for forever. She had that yellow coat on, and the other Real Housewives of Atlanta girl. It's like, I think that they, like, some of them don't watch these kinds of shows. Yeah. And then so they just, like, are not really, like, tracking with how you have to do things. It's like in the first episode where Dorinda gets off the boat, and then as the boat's going away, she's like, wait a second. They're going to think we are the traitors
yeah.
because we got off the boat so fast. And it's like, yeah, like, everybody yeah, exactly. who's watched one season of any of these shows, like, is able to do that basic level of strategic thinking. But it's like, I don't think that Dorinda has and does. But it's honestly similar to, like, Tom Sandoval this season as well, who I think, like, is not experienced enough. And so it's like, Dorinda, that's who the killer is. And it's like, it's obviously not Dorinda. Like, what are you talking about? Like, one, they wouldn't pick Dorinda to be a traitor. And yeah. two, she has not done anything that's traitor-like. So why are you on this when there's other people who are, like, much more eligible targets?
It's so funny.
Yeah, it is.
I think Dylan is a good character to watch, but I don't think he's good at this game.
I kind of think he is.
He's willing to listen, and so he's good at, like, changing his mind, mm-hmm. but he has bad instincts.
But being able to change your mind and vote out people that you like, I think, is a very good ability. And also, it's interesting because I think in the early season, like, so this is something that Carolyn told me while I was interviewing her. Because I was like, why did they vote you out? Was it because of the thing with the chess match or whatever? And she was like, no, they voted me out because they all knew Danielle was a traitor. But they, like, didn't want to get murdered. So they were being friends with her and basically, yeah. like, making and sort of protecting themselves. And so I think that in some ways, like,
yeah. I don't know if Carolyn's, like, a trustworthy narrator.
I mean, I don't know either, but I know that people have had that strategy. Because, yeah. like, when I interviewed Janelle last season, she did it. Yeah. I think that that's what Brittany is doing this time, where it's, like, she sussed out that maybe Danielle yeah. was a whatever, but, like, Danielle's not going to murder her. And for whatever reason, they can't really say that on the show. Like, that, we yeah. haven't got to that point in the show's format where people are saying, like, oh, I think this person's a traitor, so I'm keeping them around. Like,
yeah.
The show is making us think that everybody is trying to get rid of a traitor constantly. But yeah, yeah, it's like, if I was good friends with you and I thought you were a traitor, but that you wouldn't murder me, then it makes yeah. sense for me to, like, not vote for you and to constantly be like, oh yeah, Shelby, like, I know you're a faithful, like, who do you think, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's go to the end and then we can split the money. And you're like, oh, this person's an idiot. Like, I'll take him to the end with me. And then it's like, surprise, I backstab you at the last minute. Like,
oh my gosh, you would do that to me?
Well, I don't know. It depends. It really does. Because yeah. now that I know that you're a monarchist, I think, you know, I have
I'm the antithesis of a monarchist, okay? I'm on team people who left the monarchy. So I'm like the most liberal, socialist, communist out there.
Okay. Thank you. Whatever you say, Jeff Bezos. It's like you're on the plane next to Laura Sanchez. You're like, woo! No, okay. Yeah, so anyways, The Traitor is very good. Love Alan Cumming. I'm very excited. And also, I'm just like, there's endless, like, different types of people you could put on this show that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's mostly been reality people so far, but I feel like you could put, like, politicians, you could put actors, you could put, like, I mean, not, like, but, like, wouldn't it be sort of interesting to watch, like, Hillary Clinton on this show? Like,
no.
I sort of think yes.
No. Strike that.
Omarosa? That I'm like, when are we getting Omarosa? No. I want her so bad. I love her. I read her whole book. Meghan Markle could go on this show.
No, and then I honestly don't. I like the reality stars. I like the C-list celebrities, I guess. But I do not want, like, I don't want movie stars or, like...
Well, we're not gonna get movie stars.
I don't want anyone with over 2 million followers on Instagram, okay?
Well,
that's the limit.
Think people are going on the show. But
well, like, yeah. I'm just saying that's the peak. I don't want...
But of, like, the Dancing with the Stars sort of, like, cast options that we can get, I think, like, there are lots of types of people who could go on it.
Yeah.
And I also think they haven't really done anything yet, for the most part, of, like, groupings of people.
Yeah.
Because, like, last season they had Larsa and her boyfriend, and they both sort of got eliminated early, and it didn't really become a plot point. But I'm like, you could have a group of friends on there, and then, and make one of them a traitor and sort of see, like, okay, well, how does that shake out? Like, how does it work if you have people in a relationship? How does it work if you have, like, housewives who, you know, it's like, okay, let's put the whole Real Housewives of Salt Lake City cast on a season. Like, okay, how does that dynamic change? Like, I just think there's a lot of different sociological elements.
Yeah, experiments.
That they
could
yeah.
do. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
So, sorry.
Okay, I'll allow that.
Okay, what is your love it or hate it?
I think that's good enough. I think that'll count as mine.
Okay. Okay. Well,
we've kept the people long enough.
Yes, yes. And we have to get to the Oscars
Exactly.
Episode. So there's lots to discuss there. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Shelby and I are taking next week off because we have a SpaceX flight that we are gonna be on. But we'll be back on Thursday to talk about the Oscars. Bye.